never real. Took a real topic, no facts. Took a real shit and you know that. That's a fact, Jim. Chat and chill. Damn. Took a real topic, took a real topic, know that. Took a real shit, know that. That's a fact, Jim. Chat and chill. Damn. Took about the real. Took whatever you want, whenever you want, whatever you want.
Welcome, everybody, back to Chip Chatter and Chill. This is your millennial adult recess break, the kickback, the live session. At this time, we are in the middle of the holiday season, and we're still rolling very strong. Thank you so much for listening into the current season's series, A Love Built to Last. If you love somebody, whether you're in a marriage, a long-term relationship, if you're a long-term fiance or whatever have you, it takes a village to survive it. So we are here to just reflect on the most relevant lessons in love relationships, how we've grown, and we're just exchanging and passing on the knowledge that we have. Tonight, I'm ready to have a really good time with a good friend of mine. I've known him since high school. He is a professional educator, a coach, pickleball aficionado, and a life enthusiast. This is Coach E. Clark, everybody. Welcome back to Chip Chat and Chill. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hello, everyone. Glad to be here. I already got a question, man. Real quick.
Ask away.
What is a long-term fiance?
You know, that happens. So, you know who's the perfect example?
Okay.
Jim Jones and Chrissy. That's like,
yeah, okay.
That's toxic. If I be like completely honest with her, that's toxic. How you be engaged to the same one person for over 10 years?
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. When you said it, I was like, I guess like you said, it does happen.
That's one perfect example. I done met my dude, married him, and had a couple kids, and they still engaged like since they got together. Like, now that you asked out loud, I'm glad you did, because they're a great example. Yeah, them too. But anything that would be over, in my opinion, because I understand things like the current pandemic happens, people get sick, there's family changes, job changes, and things like that. I would say, in my own opinion, a long-term engagement would be anything over 5 years, 5 or 7 years. If it's longer than that, that's a long-term engagement. Now you're starting to just get comfortable with what you've been getting.
I was going to say two. As a man, like, once you ex, then you should already be ready. You know what I'm saying? Like,
see, I like that. Thank you. I'm glad that came from your mouth.
The man. Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna say I'm ready for commitment, then you should kind of like be ready like the next day. In my opinion,
I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm glad that came from your mouth. That's why I have him on the show tonight. This is perfect. Yes.
I'm not pandering.
No, I don't. Not at all. But you know what? When God lines it up, it's all going to make sense. So tonight is just definitely going to make sense. So this much and learn for this week. I was experimenting. So I put at the last minute some grape soda and strawberry margarita mixed together. It's actually not too bad. It's very strong, though.
Grape soda and strawberry margarita.
And I just finished DoorDash dinner tonight, but I just made a quick dessert. Don't judge me. This is cheat week for everybody all over the place. Everybody's ordering out. This is Thanksgiving week. Who's cooking every night? Nobody.
It's cheat week. Okay.
Cheat week. You have an allowance from Chip Chat and Chill. This is a cheat week. So I have a chocolate chip moon sandwich, if you will, with a
moon sandwich. That's what's up.
And we got that old school that hood candy over there.
Yeah, me. I'm over here. I'm seeing got some Laffy Taffys, some Airheads, some Smarties. And I'm drinking high quality H2O tonight.
I'm gonna chase it when I go back upstairs. Listen, I did not know. I was 21 years old when I learned Airheads had orange flavored Airheads.
Oh yeah.
The kids had them this year from Party Favors. My husband brought them home. I was like, when did they make orange? Yo, it's so good.
And they got grape.
That's one of my absolute favorite ones. The grape Airheads and the white one. Is that coconut? The white one. No, it's not coconut. It's like, The white one is, it's almost like a pina colada taste to it. That one, the grape, and the cherry is a classic one. But that orange, I got introduced to that this year. I was like, ooh, this is a problem. And I'm not a candy person, but that I liked that a lot. Those and some strawberry Laffy Taffy. Some grape Nerds.
That's them your favorites?
Yes. Outside of gummy candy. Yep. That's my favorite, like hard and chewy. I love
Skittles. Gummies. You know what I'm saying? You got to have some Skittles.
What's your favorite bag?
Shoot. This last bag I had was the smoothies. The smoothies. Those are pretty tasty. But my favorite bag is Classic Red, though.
Those hit.
Maybe the Classic Red bag.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Since we're talking tonight, love built to last. Let's see. Since we're talking about forgiveness, I love the way Cardi B and Offset were able to come together after going through what they went through, especially being as young as they are and as successful as they are. Mm-hmm. It was very mature of them to mend whatever was going wrong with them, whatever type of disagreement they were having, whatever miscommunication they were having. And she literally admitted in one interview where she released her maternity photos before she had her son earlier this year. She said, you know, we communicated, we started listening to each other. And even though she and him were able to work that out outside of any type of counseling or therapy, one of the key factors in a successful long-term relationship is always going to be good communication, a good effort to communicate. It's the consistency that really, really sticks. If one is down, the other one has to hold the other up and hold them accountable. So communication is an essential factor to a long-term relationship. So that really was one that just came back to mind where they were able to forgive one another. Cause I'm sure like Cardi B got a mouth outside of her marriage. Like we all just know she's very honest with how she feels and her opinions, and she speaks her mind, no filter. But I'm pretty sure with that comes along a little bit of overstepping boundaries at a few points in their relationship. I'm pretty sure that, especially being young as they are and the whirlwind romance that they had, I'm pretty sure she stepped on his toes and made him feel disrespected at a few points. So not that that justifies any overboard behavior at any point, but I could understand some aspect of a dilemma where they would not have consistent communication. But I'm very, very glad that they were able to work that out. And they had a baby afterwards. So they all good in the hood now.
Yeah, I think it's always great when people can work problems out in situations. It's awesome. I think forgiveness is like, it's levels to it. So meaning like, you know, you got accidents and you got things that you don't mean to do. And you may say, I'm sorry or I apologize for those. It's sometimes the intentional things that you do that makes forgiveness kind of hard. So when you talk about forgiveness levels, and it takes time. Yeah. So you know, be patient with yourself on the forgiveness piece.
Is this true? There are levels. I agree with that. Would you consider yourself a person that forgives easily, or you really have to work to earn your forgiveness, or a person would have to really work to earn your forgiveness?
So I'm one of those type of people who feels like forgiveness should be an action situation. I know everybody makes mistakes. It's the blatant things, the things that you know are going to hurt my feelings, or you know that's going to make me feel a certain type of way. A lot of times you can use your words and say, I'm sorry. And you can feel like, okay, you're not going to do that again. And you can trust the words, but it ultimately comes down to change behavior for the forgiveness, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm like that. I follow the action, especially the older I get. You can tell me one thing and I don't ever want to be a wordsmith ever again. Like, you know, I could really, if I really know and I'm aware that I've hurt your feelings, I did something to offend you, I crossed the boundary. It used to be in my early years, I really wanted you to know verbally, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I did not mean that. The older I get, I'm more intentional about showing you. I really understand why that offended you. And I understand why you deserve to have trust in me re-earned, or I deserve to be dealt with a certain way until you can really feel more comfortable or guarded or secure around me, if that makes sense.
I'm
more aware, and you should be the older you get, because it's the difference between our kids. You took my toy, or you know, tripping a kid over and making them fall on their face, or you know, skipping a line at the lunch counter. It's different levels to that versus you're 20 something, and okay, you don't keep your word when you say you're gonna be somewhere, you're not there. I say let's show up at 8, you don't show up till 9:15, or right. I call you, you say, oh, I'm gonna call you right back, and you know that there's a intent to have a heartfelt conversation or to meet some type of resolve, and I don't hear from you for 3 days. Those are the right. things where it's like, okay, I will extend grace. However, let's be clear. Let me understand the intent behind your action. I really love you. If you really, really love somebody, it could be hard to get out your feelings in that moment when the heat is high to say, okay, let me be adult enough to step back and try to listen to them. You ain't trying to really listen to them. You're not in a place to be open and receive what they have to say, honestly. Most people aren't.
Right.
It takes years to build that level of maturity where you can be pissed off with somebody that you love, but still see them and hear them in that moment. It takes a very distinct level of maturity. For those of us that are not consistently there yet, I really would hope anybody that puts themselves in a position where they need forgiveness really understand why that person is now questioning you, or why they feel guarded, or why they feel confused or slighted or forgotten. Really think about how that happened, because even if you weren't thinking about those things in the moment where you offended that person, or even if you've never even considered that before, you have to, especially if you really, really love somebody, because they're looking to you for safety. They're looking to you for peace. They're looking to you for confidence. And when you lack showing up as such, it makes that person feel naked. It makes them question everything. I've been there. I teach my son. He's the eldest of, you know, his baby sisters. They're 3 and 4 now. I teach him. I said, you're their big brother. Number one, you should never hit them. I'm never going to be okay with that. Number two, they should always feel loved and safe around you. Because as ugly as the world is enough outside their home, one day they're going to mature enough and they'll gain male friends, and they'll be in situations where they're in love interest situations, or they're offering, you know, romanticism to someone and they're in a romantic situation. You would never want anyone to hit your sister. No. So don't you do it. Over the summer, they would make goofy mistakes around the house, and they have this, and I said, okay, it's cute at one point, but I had to tell him, I said, well, if she can't feel okay making a mistake in front of you without knowing that you got her back, or you can show her the right way to do something, she's going to be afraid to fail, and she's not going to feel safe around you. Just let her know it's okay sometimes, because everything is not funny. That's number one. You can't laugh at everything.
Right.
Because if she really, really hurt herself and she's crying, there should never be anything funny about that. And that hit me hard, because it's like, as an adult, anybody that we're in long-term relationships with, you're married, you're engaged, you've been in a relationship 3+, 4+, whatever years, if you know you for sure absolutely love this person, they are it, you know, you're committed, you're invested, really be conscious and mindful to make them feel safe. Right. And secure, because you should be their safe place to be a sounding board. Even if they're not upset with you about anything, you haven't done anything outside the world, you should be their safe place. And no one should be able to help you violate that. And if they do, you really, really got to continue every day to be mindful to rebuild that level of security, that padding of trust and safety with them.
I agree with you. Man, like sometimes, what about times when the person may feelings may be hurt, or you may have offended them, but it wasn't nothing that you necessarily did. It may be something in how you felt, or something that you may felt was right, and they don't feel is right. Like, how do you deal in those situations when you love people, and they want an apology, but you're not really sorry? It had to be said, or it needed to be said. Maybe it's been said in another way, or I had to do this to better this situation, and I'm sorry that it hurt your feelings, but I'm really not like that kind of sorry. Like, how do you deal with those kind of situations?
That's a good question. In my personal opinion, I actually, to a certain degree, experienced that. I was put in a position where I felt like I was made to feel like I was in the wrong for something that I did not do. This person felt like I owed it to them for me to deliver information. However, it wasn't my information to share. This person prized, and you know, the person whose information it was to share at their liberty, they chose not to. They chose to confide in just me originally. By the time this third party was made aware, they took strong offense at the fact that I didn't tell them the information. Number one, it wasn't my information to share.
Right.
And that goes back to, I will never, ever, ever share anything with anybody when they are vulnerable, when the information is something intimate, private. It shouldn't be blasted out to the public. If they're coming to me in confidence, whoever it is, I understand that's a vulnerable place that you're coming from, and you have a strong desire for safety. And anything that violates a person's safety, security, their trust, and having peace, especially when they don't have all the answers to navigate through whatever problem they're working out, they have a system where they're working towards resolving that. That's their business, and I respect that. And me being invited, or you know, a part of that process, I'm going to make sure you feel safe, secure, and you still have your peace as you work through that. I'm not going to air your business to anybody. First, on the ground level, that's not mine to share. But I already acknowledge, without any spoken language, this is something that's sacred and guarded, and I'm not going to air that. And egos aside, position aside, if I'm going to violate somebody's privacy, their trust and security, and feeling secure and safe with me and trusting me, you're not worth it, no matter who you are. So if you ever find yourself, if a person ever finds themselves in a situation where they're either trusted with something sacred, or they say something honestly and it's not malicious, it doesn't come with ill intent, it doesn't come with, you know, the mission to attack the person or belittle them or make them feel less than, if it's none of that going on, you have to always be able to guard your heart and check your ego. If you really know that person, you have to be able to check your ego. You have to guard your heart, and you have to understand, if you really truly know the person, like if you know without a doubt, they don't mean you no ill, no harm, no foul. If you know that, you have to, now I'm gonna say it plainly, you have to stay out your feelings. It is hard. It is hard, especially when you love somebody. It is really hard to stay out your feelings. You're a human feeling emotion, all kinds of them. They change day by day, but what should be constant is what you know. You have to take the person that you know out of the context of what they said. Take the fish, throw away the bones, check your ego, guard your heart, and just take what lesson is built in whatever's happening. Because whatever's happening in the moment is bigger than the energy. You get what I'm saying?
I get it. I run.
Like, it's not about, like, you said that, you was out of pocket. It ain't about the energy. It's about what's happening. Pay attention to what's happening. Because all the other stuff, the rah, 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 the blocking, the subliminal messages, the tit for tat, that's distraction. That's distraction. Go beyond that. go beyond that. What am I supposed to learn from this? And how am I going to apply that when we do make amends? That's forgiveness. That's a level to forgiveness.
Right. Yeah, the levels get gets deep too. Like when you've been offended in a betrayal type way. And you never did nothing to deserve that pain, you know.
Like, yeah.
It takes that's another level. I can honestly say my first time ever really like forgiving was going through a what I felt was a betrayal situation. And what I really had to do was forgive myself, you know what I'm saying, for making the decisions that I made and making the choices that I made, even though I maybe didn't deserve what ultimately happened. I have to take responsibility for how I put myself in that position. And then once you can kind of like say, oh man, like I can forgive myself for doing that, then it makes it easier for you to forget that other person or forget that other situation, because you've taken accountability for whatever the parts you had. It might be 2%. They might be 98% wrong, but if you can take accountability for that 2% and forgive yourself for that 2%, then you'll start to be able to forgive that other person or the other thing that may have offended you in the worst way. I used to always, one of the big things in relationships is infidelity. And mm-hmm. One of the biggest things when they talk about forgiveness, and I don't think I ever could understand that as a man, because first of all, I never really did that to someone, and I never really had that done to me. So to say I understood it would be wrong. But when I had a similar betrayal feeling, then I could understand like, oh man, this is why this person feels this way, and then the reason why it's hard to forgive, because that person tells you I love you, you they love you, and then they did something to hurt your feelings and or make you feel a certain type of way. And so like it's almost going back to what you said, like I know you love me, but this, you did this to me, and that put you in a place where it's hard to forgive, because you always looking at that person, what they did, but you're not really taking accountability for things that may have got you in that situation. Like I said, and it may be only 0.5%. They may be 99.9.5% wrong, but that 0.5, you can take accountability for that 0.5, then you can be able to. But like I said, a lot of people don't want to look at themselves ever. Even when they're wrong, they don't want to look at themselves. It is definitely hard to look at yourself when you have done nothing wrong, or you feel like you've done nothing wrong. That's the hard part.
Self-examination is very painful. It is. That's something, because it requires a lot of work and humility. It requires a lot of honesty. You have to be really honest with yourself outside of the obvious things. I'm glad that you said that, because when you want to talk about betrayal, devastation, lack of trust, infidelity, like you mentioned, let's be honest, it's a huge double standard when it comes to how consequences are left out, or the repercussions or the end result happens when a man dishonors his woman.
Okay.
And when a woman dishonors her man. Totally different.
Okay, so what's the double standard before I can make sure I'm speaking on it the right way?
The double standard is when, and I have seen it happen dozens and dozens of times for me to just know what I've seen.
Okay.
If a man is unfaithful to his woman, oh baby, you know, we get the I'm so sorry. Most of the time, if they really, really care, right? Mm-hmm. If they the baby and Danny Lee, they don't give a it ain't gonna go that way. He's like, F you, gone. Bye.
Right,
but if he really loves her, baby, the groveling and the apologizing and the roses and the hemming and the hawing, and we take the woman takes him back. Okay. 9 times out of 10, y'all are forgiven over time. There are some women, it's like, I love you unconditionally, except for if you do this one condition, then I'm out,
bro. Bye. That's a boundary. Okay.
That is a boundary some women cannot accept. No, I don't feel like going through all of that. You show me once, I can't trust you. Once a cheater, always a cheater.
I think, right? I almost think all women should have that boundary.
They should. On the other half is, let a woman do a man wrong. Oh, she all kind of bees and hoes and slut, tramp, can't be trusted. She filthy, she dirty, she's for the streets. She for everybody. She ain't for me. She dirty. She did me wrong. Bye. Ain't no, he don't, y'all don't want to hear nothing. Nothing. Y'all guard on to the next one. Go bang the rebound chick. The second, third, and fourth one. Y'all off. Y'all cut her off immediately. Y'all want, y'all done. It's over. She canceled.
All right.
By the street. So that has happened more times than
I've. Let me tell you why. Okay. So, all right. Typically, could we agree that men are more physical creatures than women? Could we make that agreement?
Most prominent, we can agree.
All right. Okay. So, a lot of times, like the example that you use when a guy is kind of pleading for his woman. See, this is the thing I think a lot of males go through. It go back to that long-term fiance thing. It's like,
okay,
we know that you are a great person. You'll take care of us and all that. We know that. But it's just that a small percentage of us, that primal instinct is just to want to hunt and want to, you know, chase. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's more so about the chase than a person, right? For men. Mm-hmm. But for women, you all typically, to go to that point, have built up a emotional connection with that person. I mean, and the connection could go as deep as he know your dreams, he know the things you want to do, and kind of went back and forth with it. As opposed to a man could, you know, like, see something and then act on it real fast and kind of like, oh man, I did that and that wasn't right. As opposed to woman, I don't think it works this quite the same. I think it's on some ongoing lunch dates, secret little notes. Mm. So men know that. I think men know that.
There's a buildup. And
yeah. And they actually could like that person more than them. So it becomes an insecure, it becomes a real insecure move, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, now I know somebody could make my lady feel a certain type of way that I don't, or I have it. Mm. Yeah, so okay. It's one of those ego. It's ego. The double standard is more so ego.
Women have ego too, though.
Definitely.
And they could, there are women that more than likely will do what you said, think more with building with on their emotion, the affection and emotion, as opposed to building off of just sexual, physical, and then being able to switch it off. But there are some women that can turn it on and off.
I think that society has made it, because I don't really think men and women are that much different when it comes to, like, physical and all that, but I think society has made it where, like, even if I feel that way, I don't want to admit it, or I don't want to say it. Mm-hmm. It may be a large percentage, but you just can't say it.
Because just like we were saying before, there are some, most of you guys are about the hunt, but there are some that I want the one, and they're more in touch with their emotions and more mature in their emotional life. In their emotional integrity, there are some men that are more driven toward long and with the one at a time, as opposed to just being like, I just want to bang whatever I want to bang this week. She'd be the next flavor to this week. And I just, so there it's on both sides. You're right. Society that has made us feel like this is the condition we're supposed to believe about women. This is the condition that we're supposed to believe about men. And that's what it is. Right. It's not fixed. That's not fixed. Both sexes have.
And so I think when I'm listening to what you're saying, I think that's why women forgive, because they know that it could be a fly by night. He's just looking at her like that. He really do care about me, as opposed to, like, on the other hand, like, I ain't gonna say she though. She with all the name calling, we ain't got to call her all that. But like I said, now it's like, man, dude on her mind now. You know what I'm saying? She thinking about dude. Like, that's different.
I see what you're saying. Especially if you've been around her long enough, you get accustomed to how she treats you, how she responds to you. You know what makes her tweak and what sets her off, what doesn't. I could see that. I could understand that. So what then does it take for the small percentage of men that are able to extend the same forgiveness a woman would predominantly extend to a man?
I think you just got to look at yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it comes back down to what did I do or didn't do to make her, you know, go that way? Or, you know what I'm saying? Look at yourself. Don't just blame her for doing what she did. Look at yourself and say, man, she did ask me to, you know, go out more or talk to her more, and I did it, you know? And like I said, it's the same thing. If you feel like she do care about you, bro, she just trying to tell you, and she got caught in a weak moment because we are humans. If you ever think about it like that, like the same, give her the same grace you give yourself. And just look at yourself and say, man, what can I do better to make sure this woman wants to stay with me? That's the only way. If you can't look at yourself like that, then you might as well hit the reset button. And that's what most men do nowadays.
If someone were to do that to you, and I felt the way, this just happened to one of my male friends. He was in a long-term relationship. They share a child together. She violated all of his trust. He gave her a chance for them to work things out. But what happened was when he gave her that chance, she totally shitted in his face, basically.
Oh,
there was no change. There was no change. In fact, I felt like the disrespect grew more. Like she was more blatant after he extended grace and gave her a second chance.
That's why we
know. And I felt like that person that, you know, I really cared about was he was very forgiving, very humble of the situation. But she definitely see that in that instance, I'm like, don't take advantage. Don't take advantage and go left with it.
So it's all about men receive love and respect. It gotta be respect. What's up, bro?
Coach Clark, this is my husband, Mr. Mac.
What's going on, brother?
How's it going?
If he'd have just told her to get out, leave, and still like loving her and make her come back and say, oh, I'm gonna do better.
Emery, it was real good meeting you.
Hey, I appreciate it, brother.
I'll play that.
Most men won't. That's because we know.
Has she really shown she was in it for him? Like she really cared and she wanted to.
If she really cared, she trust back. She did it to see what you're gonna do. Now let's see how you're gonna react to it.
To test him.
Most women are not gonna. It will take them literally 8-9 months to say I'm gonna do it. They're not just gonna. They're not. Y'all not like us. It's your dude ain't been paying you no attention for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Then y'all meet somebody who pays y'all that kind of attention. Y'all kind of, you know, most women are loyal people. And once they committed to you, they only want to date one person.
So for the 0.2, 0.5, 0.1% that's your fault being like lack of attention, or even what I was going to say when my husband came in was like, even sometimes we get comfortable, we get used to a person, we feel like we know them enough, or once you feel like, oh, I want her, I ain't got to do much no more. She mine now. You forget to do all the just because chivalry type, I love you, sentimental, romantic things because you get comfortable. Or you get caught up and is absorbed in whatever life is throwing you in that current season, and you just fall lax on what it took to get her.
That's the one thing I can say about ladies, man. You all give more grace than men. That's definitely an opinion-based fact.
Now, in a different situation for the other small percentage we were talking about, where when given grace, they actually do prove themselves. The distinct difference between the two, if you're just going to just blatantly not care, you can kind of tell the difference. But if you do care about your man and you do want to rebuild trust and you do want to invest in showing them that you care about them, you're in it, you're not trying to fall into the same trap or keep up whatever came between you two. If there's fruits of forgiveness being shown and demonstrated, if there is change, like you were saying at the top of the episode, if there is a change in behavior, if you feel more value coming from them saying that I care.
If she got caught, she's just testing you, really, to see what you got. You got to put your hammer down. You can't be like, oh, baby, let's work it out. No.
What's the test? What is she trying to test?
She just trying to see what type of man you are. Are you a man that's going to let her run you over and do you like that? Or are you going to be a person that say, I got options. I'm going to leave. I don't have to stay here and take this. And the same with women. You know what I'm saying? It's a boundary. Once you do that, like, you really love them, you don't want to leave them. You don't want to go. But sometimes you got to, because they got to realize what they done. You may have thoughts on forgiving them later, or when you work on yourself, or when you think about the whole situation. But at that time, you can't be like, oh, let's work it out. Because that, like you said, it gives that person that wiggle room. You're not going to do this to me again. This really hurt my feelings. I'm leaving. I'm going to stay mom, or, you know, whatever. I need 2-3 weeks, not let's work it out. And this, that's just my opinion.
The two parties would need time apart.
Yeah.
The two parties would definitely, because cooler heads will prevail, as an old head once said. But honestly, I think, in my opinion also, it depends on the nature of the relationship. If it's like just a long-term love relationship, mm-hmm. and it's not much to lose, meaning like you don't have a whole 3 decades together and, you know, 10 kids together, then okay.
Right.
If it's just y'all and y'all only been together a while, and there's no marital covenant, then okay. Okay, I ain't losing nothing, really. It's just a lesson. The longer you have been married, though, and the more you have invested on either end, I'm not going to show favoritism to a man being violated or a woman being violated. If you are married, that person may have violated forsaking all others, but you also do violate until death. We talked about unconditional love. If you ever really, really, really needed grace, if you ever needed mercy shown to you, and you were genuinely, if you just let me prove myself, I'll do X, Y, Z. If you ever really needed to be forgiven, and we do every day, everybody needs forgiveness every single day. None of us walk around here blameless. Most people, whatever switch needs to go off, once it does, they know now, especially when you see successful people that have gone through infidelity, betrayal, violation of trust, familial trauma, you know, family trauma, drama, and things like that. The ones that have gone through it and gotten through it, they were able to, like we were saying before, see that person beyond. There was a mutual understanding of, this is what went wrong, this is how we need to move forward. There was assistance. A lot of that takes not just you dealing with that person one-on-one. And I'm not talking about just general love relationships anymore now. I'm talking like marriage. Because I've seen what infidelity can do to marriages. It totally corrupts security and safety, like we were talking before. And you should never do that to anybody. No man or woman should do that to anybody. It is going to take a lot of commitment from the both of the parties. Mm-hmm. And it will take professional assistance.
I got a question.
Okay.
Let's just say, as a man, I'm coming to you as my wife, and This is before the infidelity. This is, I'm telling you that I'm starting to be attracted to other women. I'm having feelings for other women. I haven't slept with any other women yet, but I just have urges to just do it, man. I just miss, you know, something different. If I come to you and tell you that, what is your response to that? What is your response to me for telling you the truth?
Me as an individual, I'll speak for myself. I would want to know what is it about it?
Fake the car. Man, like, you know, it's everything. Her hair, her style, the way she walk. I just feel a certain type of way about her. But men have these thoughts like that. And so, like, if I want to be honest and come to you like this and tell you what's going on in my mind, like, what is the response? Or how do we supposed to get through that before me trying to lie or do it behind your back or any of that kind of stuff?
I would appreciate the honesty. Me, it would hurt, but I would appreciate the honesty. I would appreciate opening that conversation. And my first response, in my reaction, I'm like, where'd she come from? In my head, I'm like, where'd she come from? Where is this coming from? And what am I not doing? But what I'm going to say outward first, my first response outward is going to be, okay, so what's the distinct difference between she and I? And then my next question would be, so what are you doing with all these feelings and thoughts that you're having? Like, what is your intention with that? Where are you going with that? And where does that leave us?
Man, that'll be the basis of the hard conversation. Cause I say, man, a lot of times you may need to just sit, like, have that. We talk about, like, getting back to what made me attracted to you, or what made me say I'm going to commit to you. So I think that leads back to a conversation. And I tell people all the time, like, it don't go like that, man. You leave then or be with her or whatever. And you didn't come and say that. You didn't say I wanted to be with her or nothing like that. You just getting the urge, or you getting a feeling or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know that's tough. I'd rather do that than go the other way and hurt you. Like, I'm gonna hurt you either way, right? But I'd rather hurt you this way than the other way.
What you're getting at, it does help to say to the people, have conversations. You have to have hard conversations because things happen. Mm. Things happen. Before you get too far with anything, you have to continue to make communication a very key non-negotiable in your relationship. Keep it open. Be honest. There's no rule that says you're not allowed to be attracted to somebody. That would be non-realistic. Unless you're a monk, and even monks have hormones and emotions and feelings. They just have a different heightened level of discipline and know how to deal with them. But on a human level, there's no reason why you should not acknowledge that you're attracted to someone else. It's what you do with the attraction and what kind of conversation that you have with your partner. I realize that you have to just put it out there. Yeah, I would rather you, as a woman, I would rather be hurt with honesty up front before reckless behavior. Or I would rather be hurt with honesty than confronted with admission. Men too. Y'all would be rather hurt with honesty than admission. I would rather honestly tell you,
I don't want to know. I don't want to find out. Tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That gonna hurt me. It'll hurt.
It would take a very strong level of commitment to working through it. If it means that much in a marital relationship. I've seen both ends of the spectrum. I've seen three ends of the spectrum. Okay, I've seen he cheat, she cheat, they just cheat. But they still together in a very highly toxic relationship. They love each other, but he do his dirt, she do her dirt. Their level of dysfunction works for them, however it works. I've seen she cheat, he hurt, bye. I've seen he do whatever, she hurt, bye. But I've also seen both ends of those two extremes where one or the other has violated their spouse, if they got through counseling with someone that actually really, really cared for the both of them, and they really make an intention to really hear and communicate with one another and really make it a point to renew and reestablish what it really, really means for them to be together, I've seen it work out where there is no room for error. There is no room for I'm disheveling my legacy. There's no room for I'm going to hate you for the rest of my life. Or I may say, okay, I'm cool with it. I'll just pay child support for these kids and we'll just be cordial. I've seen it work out. If you count up the cost, past your hurt in a long-term marriage, if you really feel like you can see that person beyond, if you get professional help, I've seen it work. You get professional help and you see the fruits of them not abusing grace. Don't abuse grace. But if you're going to work toward being worthy and deserving of anybody's forgiveness, really be conscious and really be mindful and show that person. Like, just be honest. Be honest. Keep communication open. Be consistent. And forgiveness is a process. It's a process. It's not a one conversation. Because even honestly, if someone is withholding forgiveness, someone's already a couple somebodies, a couple incidences, whether it's known or unrealized, there has been a buildup of I extended kindness and you violated my kindness and you were not worthy of my forgiveness. So I just had to dead off that situation and move on to the next and move on to the next. There's already been a pre-existing history of reasons why I don't want to issue forgiveness out if you've gotten to that point. So yeah, if you can see fruits of forgiveness in a person and they have totally matured and they're not fumbling and they do deem themselves worthy just with their heart, not words, they deserve forgiveness. They deserve forgiveness.
I agree.
Now, mind you, forgiveness isn't about I forget everything and I act like it didn't happen. I ain't forget that, you know, you stole my money out of my father's house. I ain't forget that you know, tore up my car. It's not I forgive and I forget it and as if it's never happened. It's not about that. It's about, yo, I ain't got the right to judge anybody. I don't need that stress on my head. I don't have that grudge to hold on me. Because honestly, unforgiveness will weigh on you mentally, physically. It shows up in your body. The tension, the pain in your joints, the back pain, the migraines that you have, the indigestion, the intolerance of whatever food that you didn't have before, that shows up and it manifests in your body. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for that. I would rather take the time to say, okay, I am nobody's God, judge or jury. They are a faulty human who made mistakes for whatever reason. It's none of my business why. I don't have to sort out all the reasons why. I just know that for my mental sake, for my physical sake, I would like to move on with my life. I don't want to hold that. And I don't want to hold anything back from myself that belongs to me. I'm going to make room for positivity. I'm going to make room for growth. And if they decide that they want to continue to be the toxic person that they've been and continue in the same behavior as before, and they keep just showing me that they're going to continue to make the same mistake every single time, I love you from a distance.
Right.
I forgive you for me and my peace. My peace is expensive, but I'm going to love you from afar. Because a lot of people do that to one another. Hurt people. And then you so caught up in doing whatever it is you do, and humans will behave over and over and over again in almost like a childlike fashion, because you could tell the same one child the same thing. Don't do that. Don't touch that. Put that down. And they'll continue to repeat the behavior again and again, knowing the consequence, whether it be getting it taken away, getting corporal punishment or whatever. They keep doing it again and again and again. Those people you have to love from afar. Protect your heart. Protect your peace. But for those that behavior that is like, okay, they really understood where they went wrong and they really are trying to learn what now is a new love language, because your love language may even change through a situation where you could once receive love one way, but now because you've been violated, now you need to receive it a different way. If they understand that, I got to give you a chance. I have to. I'm going to be open.
That's real.
That was good. At the end of the day, it's all about growing up, man. Right. It's about growing up. Love, long-term love, it's for grown-ups.
It's interesting. I'm planning on trying to start my podcast at the top of next year. Mm-hmm. My first series is going to be on love. I ask a lot of questions about love, because even when you talk about unconditional love, I used to believe in unconditional love, but I don't really believe in unconditional love. I think only love that's unconditional is the love you have for your kids. The rest of it come with conditions. And then, like, when you say boundaries, are boundaries conditions? Somebody could consider it a condition. I consider it a boundary, but some people could consider, man, that's a condition. You only gonna love me if I treat you a certain type of way? Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you only gonna be honest, I don't want nobody gonna be dishonest to me and make me feel a certain type of way. That's a condition. And I think people, like, I really studied agape love. I grew up in a different household, so my mom and daddy really practice agape love. Like, it's nothing that I could do to make my mom or dad love me any less.
I love that. Yeah.
All right, but then when you get out here in the real world, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm. Although it should be. I was gonna say we need more of that.
I was listening to a sermon the other day, and they're just talking about the things that blind you: fear, anger.
Yes. Yes.
Jealousy, envy, those things blind you, right? But then it also talked about how abundance blinds you. Like, if you have a lot of stuff or you have a lot of things, then you kind of don't see what you don't have and what you don't feel. And so, like, I started to think about myself. Like I just mentioned, man, I grew up in a two-parent household where my parents are two. It's as rare as you meet two people who are givers, you know, do things like the kindness of their heart. And so that's how my brother and I grew up. And so people take advantage of that, you know.
Yeah. Like,
and so then when you realize, like, man, if I say no one time, or if I'm like, man, I'm not doing that, then they looking at you different, or they you know. And so I'm looking like, oh man, now you don't like me, or now you don't care because I did this 100 times straight, and now I just want to take a rape break, and I don't want to do it. Now I'm just, you know, and that's not unconditional. That comes with condition.
And Beyonce had a song on her first album, one of her lines, she said, the first time I say no, it's like I never said yes.
And that's what I realized, that's most how the world is. And it's unfortunate that it's like that. And so that I believe it does exist, but it's like the natural is your kid. And it's a huge practice, a very big one.
I think unconditional love does exist. I think it does not exist without some level of disappointment. Because, and not even in a terrible way, but grow through things within yourself, but also be determined to love the hell out of whoever you're committed to loving. That's the hell that brings pain, anger, frustration, fear. You have to be determined to love the hell out of them. That's unconditional love. Like, even though there's some type of disappointment, what I wanted versus what I got, right? There's some level of disappointment, not a total scam or a total catfish. I'm not talking about that, but like, I thought this person would never, or I thought this person would never think this way, or I thought this person would never, you know, develop this type of habit or addiction or whatever, but they do. And it's like, now, you gonna love them through that, or is that the limit? Is that the boundary? Is that the condition? So it just depends on the person. If you're aware that it will come with a level of disappointment, in other words, this person at some point is definitely going to let me down.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even when the way you defining it, ain't nobody loving like that.
Somebody I love very deeply. I will always love this person. But for them to blatantly tell me, I'm never going to change this about myself, this is who I am, it is what it is, that disappoints me. Because you're telling me basically there's no room for you to grow in this area. When I know you can. This right. person absolutely can grow in this area. But you're telling me blatantly you refuse to grow.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Yeah. You're dealing with yourself. It takes a lot of self-reflection, like to reflect and deal with your own accountability. It does take a lot of, it's painful. That person doesn't want to do the work.
Yeah.
They're telling me up front, I'm not going to change.
Yeah. Because it's easier. Why you can't love me for how I am? That's unconditional love.
People love people until they do things that don't agree with their idea of them. People love people until they do things that don't match up with what they want them for them. I love you until what I want for you and what you want for you is different, or I don't want to show growth in an area that shows that I can actually support this. This is something that I always said I wouldn't support or I wouldn't ever believe in. And you're choosing that. So now, because I love you, I have to support it and I have to believe in it because I said I love you. Some people ain't ready for that.
This is how I feel about unconditional love, though, because it's like it's the love of Jesus Christ. And so, like, if I just because I don't love you the same don't mean I don't love you. Because I have people all the time that say I love on conditions. And I just feel like it's just boundaries, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you tell me if you're a person that say they're gonna do something and you don't do it, I'm not gonna say I don't love you. I'm not gonna love you the same, because then I'm not gonna ask you to do anything for me. I'm not gonna ask you to do I'm probably gonna treat you a different type of way too, because I really can't trust your words. You know what I'm saying? So not to say I don't love you. It's just I don't love you the same as I love this person, because this person is gonna be a person of their words, a person of action. And people get jealous of that. People get jealous of, I tell people all the time, it's the difference between fair and equal. Fair is like, I love all you all, but I may not love all you all equally, because some of you all may lie to me, and some of you all may be dishonest with me, and some of you all may not live up to things you say you're going to, and some people are going to be the total opposite. And so I may give them a little bit more than I give you, But I'm still fair. I'm still fair with the love. And like, but people would say that's not unconditional. So it's one of those type things. I'm glad I'm on the show. Like I said, how many parts of this series do you have?
I believe it'll be 6 when I get through.
Love is not universally defined. Like, we all can't use the same definition for love. That's why I feel like it's overrated. I feel like people overuse the word. And doesn't mean the same thing to us. So I'd rather us have words that we both clearly can define, that we clearly can agree on, that you care about me in that kind of way. If you're going to say you're committed, like I would want somebody to say they committed to me versus they love me, because commitment, we know that that's an agreement between both of us. And then we say we're going to do this, we're going to do that. So if I know that you live up to your commitment, you don't even have to tell you love me. I know it. You showed me, you made me feel that way.
Right.
Yeah, as I'm going through those type conversations, I'm like, man, this thing gonna take 10 episodes. And so, like, yeah. To see yours, I'm glad you're doing it. It's gonna help people. I believe in love. I just feel like we don't have a clear definition of it that everybody goes by.
I think we'll get there, though. The more we have these type of conversations, I think we'll get there.
For my baby girl, for your children's sake, man. You know, like. I tell people love is taught. You know, we got to teach that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yep.
It's not nothing that we're born with the heart too, but then how to, you know what I'm saying? And to me, it's not really difficult. You know, it's about being who you are and being the truest form of you. And once you the truest form of you, everything else work out. I feel, I don't know, I'm not a scientist or a doctor.
I get it. As long as people like you and I stay in a space where we're still teachable and we don't continue on past this decade or this phase or this season where we feel like we've reached a certain level where we are experts, there's no room for learning differently or unlearning or just being able to grow through certain things, even though fear and pain intimidates us. That's the real thing. Fear And pain intimidates us out of growing out of certain things. But if we allow ourselves to have the power and walk in the power that we actually do have, then people like you and I and the other millennials that listen to the show will definitely be able to reinforce positive ways of developing a lifestyle of love that's unconditional and is a beautiful thing. It won't come with, you know, the cost of having to develop a process or forsake some things. And I truly, truly, truly am convinced the more I have these conversations with my friends, I'm more convinced that we will be the last generation that has to deal with a lot of the toxic stuff that we were handed down, not believing in unconditional love because it does exist, not believing that people can change, not believing that there's room for growth, or not being able to receive love differently and not being able to heal from certain things and not being able to grow past certain non-negotiables, or, you know, even though, you know, blatantly, we can definitely agree there are things that's like, okay, you don't deserve, it is clear you do not deserve any more chances and I will forgive you from a distance. But for those that show fruits of worthiness, then I believe our kids will be able to know the difference between the two, be able to walk consciously and mindful enough and know how to handle themselves in those situations. So that's why I believe that there's hope for us.
I'm glad you got some hope, man. What's up?
This was so good. I'm so glad you came by. This is really, really so good.
When I do mine at the top of the year, you got to help me, man. Help me out.
Sure. Hit me up anytime.
I'm calling it life lessons. Opinions and perspectives.
We're okay.
There. Uh-huh. And
I'm there.
I said, yo. I'll figure out which segment to have you on.
Okay.
And that'll be
cool. I'm there.
That'll be cool.
I'll be there.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the time.
No, are we gonna
play these games? Did I miss the games?
No, we are getting ready to start happy hour. We are going to play games. Yes. This is the lighthearted session where we have adult recess. This will allow the viewers, the listeners, the subscribers, an opportunity to get to know us a little better, what we would do in certain situations. Tonight, I'm going to play two games with Coach Clark. And this will just give a feel for, on a very mature side, what coach's preference would be. Okay. So the first game is Would You Rather. So like I always announce, I know that there are family oriented list and material on my YouTube channel. However, Chip Chatter and Chill is for the grown people. Okay. So more often than not, you will find that we film late in the evening because it's just for the grown folks. Adults need their recess also. Kids get their recess in the daytime. We get ours away from the kids in the evening. So we get to talk however we want, no filter. We get to talk about things that we don't have to be mum or shy about in front of the kids. So this is our time to just have fun. So would you rather, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so would you rather be stuck in an elevator for an hour with 10 screaming babies or with 10 tarantulas?
10 screaming babies.
Right. There's hope if there's babies. I can shish them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe I can calm 4 or 5 of them down, maybe.
Yeah.
With tarantulas, I'd be shook. Like a lot for you. For a whole hour, you said? An hour?
Yes. Yeah. Right. I'm good. Baby me, please. Yep. Would you rather fulfill your biggest wish or resolve your biggest regret?
I don't really have any regrets. So I take the wish.
Yeah.
I don't have any regrets. Yeah. The stuff that I didn't do and I still the women want to do them. So,
gotcha. Yeah,
fulfill my biggest wish.
Gotcha. Would you rather be with someone with an average, almost boring personality, but is great in bed, or someone with a great personality, but they suck in bed?
They suck.
they suck. They're trash.
Give me the boring, but great. They was average out of that. I mean, well, I wonder what sucks for men. I don't know what sucks. What you heard?
And I'm glad you said that. You don't know what sucks, because I just read an article about men, their response about what they want in the bedroom. Uh-huh. A lot of what was said was that they get turned off when a partner is not engaged with them. They're passive. They just lay there. They're not experimental. They're not looking them in the eye. They're not not giving anything. It's just they're there, and you're doing all the work. So I think that would
I can see that.
Classify as boring.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Me, great personality, bad in bed. I can teach you what I like. Maybe. We can work on that after a while. But I'm like, if you're like a whole project, and like it just keep you like it just it's a mess. It's too much. You just really really suck. Then I gotta move on.
It says.
But I mean that like if you have a great personality, we can fix those. Like I could teach you.
See, I gotta know a personality for both. So give me that booty after duty.
All right. Would you rather? Would you rather have sex with someone who has a pretty face, but an unattractive body, or someone who has an unattractive face but a great body?
See, that ain't the same question. That's definitely not the same question. Mm-mm. I'm gonna take the body. I like the body. Give me the body. I don't want that selfie shit. Give me the body. I take the body.
Right.
Like your little like
neck up. She cute.
Yo, but that body.
Turn that light off.
You got it.
Got you. Would you rather get caught having sex by your parents or catch your parents having sex? I'll let y'all see me at work. I'm sorry. I can't. No. I don't want to see. Mm-mm. I can't unsee that. I don't want to see that. That's none of my business. See, if you catch me, I ain't got to talk about it. You just seen what you seen. I don't want to see you because I can't unsee that. And every time I see you, that's all I'm... No, I'm good. It's too much for me.
I don't want my parents to see me, though. That was the question, right? Your parents?
I know. I don't want either or. But if I have to choose either or, would you rather one of the...
How you going to see your mama?
Exactly. I don't. That's why I said I would rather them catch me. Cause if I catch them,
I don't know. Mm-mm. I think I'd rather have that one up. I'd rather be the one caught somebody, because then I got the one up on you. Mm-mm. I caught you, and you didn't catch me.
I'm good. Don't violate my mental like that. Nope, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. All right. So the next game, Happy Hour, we are going to play. Next game will be Never Have I Ever.
All right.
This is actually the first round of Never Have I Ever. So it's your honor.
That's what's up. I don't mind.
That's what's up. Never Have I Ever. Never Have I Ever lied to get out of going to work.
I never lied to get out of work.
Never have I ever texted an ex out of nowhere.
I have done that before.
Okay. Never have I ever dined and dashed.
I ain't never stole nothing, y'all.
Never have I ever caught my parents having sex.
I knew what was going on, so I kept it pimping.
Never have I ever got drunkenly locked out of my house.
I never done that before.
Never have I ever picked a wedgie in public.
Definitely have done that before.
I think we have all done that, yeah. Never have I ever regifted a present I didn't want.
I've done that.
Holiday season.
Hey, because some people, hey, another person's trash, somebody else's treasure.
I've thunk it. I don't think I've done it. I may have, knowing me. I don't think I re-gifted it. I think I sold it. I think I like did it like an eBay or something. I think that's how it ended up. Because I have thought it.
Sold it? Oh, no, that worse. Sold it? Oh, that worse.
I'm honest. I'm a truth teller. Yeah, I think I sold it on eBay. Never have I ever been walked in on while having sex.
I have been walked in on by this person right here.
Won't they do it every time? Mm-hmm. Won't they do it every time? Mm-hmm. Yep, same. Same over here.
For some breakfast. For some breakfast.
Some juice. Somebody ring the doorbell. All kind of.
Turn my TV on.
I got potty. Can you wipe me? All kinds of all stuff. Right. You didn't want nothing 10 minutes ago.
They know the
part. Now, you need everything now. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
That was dope. All right. Well, we have come to the end of the episode. We have had a wonderful conversation. This has been a very interesting and refreshing inclusion to the series, A Love Built to Last. I'm so appreciative that you joined me tonight, Coach. And I know that we have definitely shared more than enough that people will benefit from, listen to, and be able to play back for time to come. So we've had our great conversation. We played our games. This is the time where we check out. But before we do, even though forgiveness is hard and it is a process, the gag is, what's your gag?
That is for you. Forgiveness is ultimately for you to be the best person that you could be. So if you're holding on to a grudge, pride, ego, whatever you're holding on to, you have to let it go to be the best you. And that is the gag.
You got it. The gag is, it's possible. The gag is, the both of you can grow. If you forgive, you take the pressure off of yourself. And you make space for more positivity. You withhold positivity from yourself when you choose to withhold forgiveness. When you release it, you embrace and you accept the good that belongs to you. You no longer withhold that from yourself. So as we carry out, we say, check, please. What, Coach, is the most valuable or the most poignant part of the show that you either appreciate or have benefited from expressing that you're going to take with you today?
Mainly, like I said, the levels to forgiveness and the importance that we all need to be forgiven for something and to know that we need that grace. So that's one of the main carry out tips that I'm taking with me today.
Yeah, I like that. For me, don't let people abuse your grace. You can kill them with kindness, but don't let them abuse your grace. If they're not worth giving grace and forgiveness to, drop them, boo. But if they are, be gentle with yourself, check your ego, and just trust the process. I'll say that.
That's what's up.
You like that?
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Well, we have had a wonderful time. Please check in with us every Thursday. We are tuning in to Chip Chat and Chill and having a great vibe every single Thursday to last you throughout the holidays. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can always email us in the chat box at Chip Chatter and Chill on Instagram. The email address is chipchatterandchill@gmail.com. On Facebook, we are Chip Chatter and Chill. You can also keep up with Coach Clark on Twitter at GoEClark at any time. He has a great site where he shares profound wisdom on just the things that he loves in life. And he does have a funny bone. So do check him out. with all things to come in the future, he's working on some really good things. I'm very extremely proud of you. And there was actually a very interesting letter in the chat box. I don't know if you want to look at that.
Y'all read it for me. Okay. Let's see, can we help a brother out before we go home?
Okay. So we had a letter to hit the chat box. We had a writer hit us up. And he says, "Hi, Kia and crew. I've been listening from overseas since last winter, and you guys really know how to have a good time. Thanks for making me laugh and introducing fresh millennial perspectives through the worst time of my adult life." Oh, I'll give you the brief version of my dilemma. Maybe you can help. Okay, let me see. My wife and I have been together for 5 years. We shared some troubles before we got engaged and have had issues blending both sides of our family since marrying, but we pushed through them. We have a one-year-old child, and I unfortunately found out that another man could have possibly been his father. My wife admitted to having an affair, and it has crushed my entire world. She cut all ties with the side dude and said love had nothing to do with it and that she had no plans of leaving me. One flirty pass led to another, and she allowed it to happen. We've been to therapy, and I admit I came head on with many things that we both needed to heal from and improve in our relationship. I can see how things have improved at home. Okay. I feel closer to her. It's just the thought of another man having had my wife that cuts me. And to think if my child was to have been his would have broken me. I think sometimes we've not been together that long. I can start over. But then I also think I don't want to break up my family over something that I can possibly be healed from in the future. I'm on edge because she's open and trustworthy now, but I don't want her to hurt me again. Should I be grateful for the work my wife is doing to repair our relationship and the confidence that I'm seeing restored in her now? Or should I cut my losses and let her go? I truly get the old saying, it takes time to build trust, but only a short while to break it.
All right. So I would say that should be have gratitude that she's trying to change and trying to be different. Some people do. If, like I said, we take out men and women and be human. We all human when it comes to physical stuff like that. And so I would say just be gracious that she did try to just trying to be better. Also be gracious that it ain't bro baby, you know, like if it was bro baby, then that would, you know, make it a whole different situation. So I would say have gratitude that, you know, y'all have a family. You have everything to look forward to, man. We a lot of times trip over what's behind us. So for what all the stuff that you said sounds positive to me, you know, going in a positive direction. So I would say keep going, brother. You don't came too far to give up. Like I said, the main thing was the baby, you know, the baby yours. You in there, man. Like I said, man, y'all can move forward, and I go, like I said, you never forget it, but you can definitely move forward and be stronger for it. So I encourage you to stay in there, brother. Stay in there, man.
Because this was a man, and because you said something very, very endearing and helpful. You said a lot of good, helpful things, and I think that he'll be able to benefit from that. I'm not going to say too much. I just feel so bad. Like,
you feel bad? Why you feel bad?
Because the child, like, you cutting it close. Playing with your child's father, that's crushing. Because I know for a man, his legacy, y'all last name, y'all take that seriously. And if it were to be a different way, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have wrote this. He probably would have said, "I left her," if he did find out that that was his child. Because I know that would have meant a lot. But I will say the fact that he's giving her a chance and giving himself to see the change in her, to see that she's really remorseful, that she's really invested in him and their family, and that she's really wanting to work through things and be better through it. Because he said that, I agree with you, Coach, that he should try to continue to work through it. It seems like it's all fresh. And when you're in that space, you probably have all the questions in the world. And you, like you said, with anybody, if your trust has been violated, your trust is violated by the lady at the Kroger. You don't trust the bread they bring into the bakery. You know what I'm saying? Everything is questionable. Everything. down to the people billing you for your cell phone bill. You questioning everybody at that point, unfortunately, but that's what fear does. That's what hurt does. Don't turn to that one person or those people that hurt people because they're hurt. She's giving, you know, her best. I can see, you know, you really do love her. She does love you. If she wasn't willing to go through therapy with you, this would be a non-existent conversation. If she didn't cut ties, this would be a non-existent conversation. She cut the ties. She admitted it. She wants to work through it. She's invested and focused, and she's mindful of her mistakes, but she's also mindful of where she can grow. I agree with Coach. I say give her the time. Give yourself time, too. Be fair and give yourself time, too. This isn't something that you would just leap from and say, oh, I forgive you, and act like it didn't happen, or act like y'all can go back, because you'll never go back. But there's always room for better. So I agree. Coach says give her a chance and work through it. Stick through it with her. Stick beside her. I say stick beside it. I say
you gotta stick beside it, man.
Yeah.
As long as you hope, then you got faith. You straight.
Yeah.
If the baby one heals, or if he didn't know, then I'd be like, it's hard because it's a constant reminder.
That'd
have been a constant reminder, and you wouldn't have been.
We done seen enough Jerry Springer episodes, so no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, all the best to you, sir. Thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you, Coach, for giving your profound insight on that. Everybody check him out on social media.
I just saw that. It's G-O-A-T, E. Clark. It's okay. G-O-A-T, as in greatest of all time. It's on Twitter. And then Clark SSC on Instagram for my pickleball. Y'all come, if you're in the Atlanta area, come play. Yep. Go E. Clark on Twitter. Make sure you follow me. Send me some PTA funds if you want to join PTA. You don't have to be in Atlanta to show love to PTA.
That's right. Something. From anywhere.
Right.
Send the love, send the funds, or your support. Again, thank you. Thank you so much. Please continue to keep up with Coach Clark. You can write us anytime in the chat box. And then as you see the ticker go across, you can always support us monetarily also, because we do need some funds.
You got
to
have that money.
Lights on.
Gotta have that money to keep the lights on, man.
We do not do this for the free. Please continue to show love in this season. Hopefully you guys are well. You're with people that love and support you, and vice versa. Give it back. And like I always say, stay well, love yourself, live in power. And then when you come back, bring some friends right here to Chip Chat.